And James chapter number 2, verse 23, Abraham is called the friend of God. It would be a good soul-searching job for each one of us if we would search our hearts to, in light of Scripture, to see, are we a friend of God? Would God have included our name in the Scriptures as us being a friend to God? And what is a friend? Today's definition of friend is so warped in our society that most people have no idea what a friend is, who a friend is, and how to be a friend. Exodus 33, verse 11, the Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." We're so wrapped up in computer and online and chats and texts, even phone calls, that we have sort of lost the ability to talk to somebody face to face. The Bible says in Job 6:14, "To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend." Now I know that one of the most popular saying today is, "I don't need any pity." The truth of the matter is, all of us need pity. The truth of the matter is, all of us need mercy. So if you don't want to show pity to somebody else, please funnel it this way, because I need as much mercy and pity as I possibly can get. My Bible says, Job said, especially if you've ever gone through what Job's gone through, "To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend." My Bible says in Psalm 35, take your Bible, let's turn there, we might as well read it. And these are good verses for us to understand and to come to grips with the fact that we have a wrong definition of what friendship is. We've chosen the wrong person to be a friend, and we don't know what the qualifications are to be the right kind of friend. And so our lives are messed up because we have not come to this word friendship from God's perspective, or what God says about a friend. If you have your Bible, Psalm 35, verse number 11. Might be the wrong chapter. Let's see here. No. Yes, verse number 11. I'm sorry. Psalm 35, verse number 11. "False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom." Watch this. "I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity," remember Proverbs 17:17, "a brother is born for adversity. But in my adversity, they rejoice and gather themselves together. Yea, the abjects," those are your lowest, the base people, "the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not." So people that you had entrusted with your friendship, the people that you had thought at one time may have been your friend, you found out through circumstances of life and events proved otherwise. The Bible says in Psalm 88, verse 18, "Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness." Well, instead of being angry at the people who have turned on you, maybe, you ought to thank God for the events that have showed you the true character of people. It's unfortunate that it takes those kind of events in an individual's life to reveal who a friend really is, or what friendship really is. But unfortunately, that's how life deals it, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the best way to know who your friends are. Not when everything is going right. Proverbs 6, verse number 3 says, "Go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend." The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Proverbs 22:11 says, "He that loveth pureness of heart For the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'll remind you that it was Judas who kissed Jesus on the cheek.
Amen.
I'll remind you that it was the Apostle Paul said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? A true friend will tell you the truth. Not in anger, or not because they want to get back at you, but because they care about you, they want to tell you the truth. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse number 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Nothing wrong with putting on deodorant, amen? Some of you ought to try it once in a while, amen? Nothing wrong with a lady wearing perfume, amen? And you know, when you walk through, you can smell, boy, that smells good, amen? If you don't think that smells good, you ought to take a ride in the subways in New York City, amen? And you'll understand the difference, amen? If you ever lived in the city and ridden those subways, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The stench is unbelievable. It affects your heart. It affects your thinking. And my Bible says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. My Bible says in Proverbs 27:10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. My Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If you've ever tried to sharpen a tool, a knife, that you need for cutting anything, guess what you need? You need another iron. You need another something sharp that'll sharpen that baby. You get a file out to sharpen a blade. Amen? And what happens a lot of times, there's friction there. There's sparks there sometimes. Well, there may be sparks between friends, but they sharpen each other. Amen? That's what friends are for. To sharpen your blade so that you can be used in God's service for the reaping of souls, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says about Jesus in Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, that he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend. Do you know my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ? My Bible says in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 19, that the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Do people know you as a friend of sinners? Do people know you as a person who cares about somebody who's down and out? Do people know you as a testimony that you care about people who are hurting? My Bible says in Luke chapter number 15, Luke chapter number 11, that a friend, it will do what their friend needs because of their importunity. That means consistently bothering them. John chapter number 3, verse number 29, Jesus called, John the Baptist called the friend of the bridegroom. In John 11, verse 11, Jesus said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. My Bible says in John 19, verse number 12, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go to Pilate, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Well, ask your question. James asks you the question. Are you a friend of the world, or are you a friend of Jesus? Are you a friend of God, or are you a friend of the world? My Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 24, the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. As you can see, we have an illustration this morning. Amen. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You better be careful of your friends that you pick. You better be careful for the friends that you choose, because they're going to rub off on you, ladies and gentlemen. You know somebody that's angry? You know somebody that has a hot temper? You know somebody that is easily provoked? Don't become friends with that person. You be a friend, but don't bond in friendship, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says in Job chapter number 16, verse 20, Job said, my friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Job said in Job 19, he hath put my brethren far from me, and my acquaintance are verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am alien in their sight. Unfortunately, that sometimes happens in a person's life, where the people that you live with, the people sometimes that you're related to, the people that you thought were your friends, just leave you in your misery. Job 42, verse number 10, the Bible says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends that forsook him. His three friends that scorned him, his three friends that criticized him, his three friends that were laughing at him, his three friends that were criticizing him for Job not being the person he should have been for God. My Bible says that God turned the captivity of Job when Job prayed for those three friends. Psalm 38, 11, as we read, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, my kinsmen stand afar off. Proverbs 16, 28 says, a whisper separateth chief friends. Proverbs 17, verse 9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth chief friends. Take your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke chapter number 14. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 14. We have a warped view of what friendship is today, and thus we suffer. Luke chapter 14, verse number 12. We're only friends to people that are friends with us. We're only kind to people that are kind to us. We help people that only help us. You know, the Christmas card catalog, the whole list, you know, your mailing list. You write to people who write to you. Jesus said otherwise. Luke 14, verse number 12, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having friends over, because Jesus said that in other portions of Scripture. But like this is, church, by the way, is a perfect example of what we're reading right now. The doors are open for everybody. The bus ride and the van ride is open for everybody. Watch what it says. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. You expect something in return, they expect something in return. If you don't, they'll be critical of it. Verse number 13. But when thou makest a feast, watch this, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. In other words, we ought to be a friend to people who are not our friends. We ought to help people that cannot help us. We ought to be an encouragement to people that have no encouragement outside of God's people, ladies and gentlemen. People have been cast away. People have been castigated. People have been stepped up. People have been locked up and put away for the next 5, 10, or 20 years. Jesus, when visited we you? Yeah? When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you visited me. Huh? That's what Jesus said. Luke 21. Luke 21. Sometimes people don't want to be your friend because of what you believe. Verse number 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Sometimes in order to be a friend, you have to tell people that you care about the truth, whether they don't want to receive it or not. It is not my job to control what anybody else thinks or says. It's my job to be the right kind of friend to everybody else. And from their reaction to what I say, then that may start the foundation of a bond of friendship. I want to remind you that God is our friend, ladies and gentlemen. That Jesus is our friend. Are you a friend of God like Abraham was? Are you a friend to people? I'm talking about being a true friend. Not the kind of friend that the world thinks is a friend. Not the world's definition, but the Bible's definition. A friend is someone who is a friend to those who are not friends back. Jesus, when he saw Judas coming, you know what he called him? Friend. Look at it. You look at it in the garden. Right before Judas planted out that betrayal, that kiss of betrayal on Jesus' cheek, he called him friend. A friend is someone who cares about you all the time. A friend prays for you on a daily or regular basis. A friend comes to your help when asked and is able to. A friend comes to your help when they are not asked and they are able to. A friend sacrifices their time for others. A friend sacrifices their material things for others. A friend gives and shares what God has blessed them with others. A friend thinks of ways to be a blessing to those who are in need. A friend empathizes with the plight of those who are suffering. A friend has compassion on the heartaches and disappointments of others. A friend is never happy over the destruction of others. A friend is someone who lovingly warns others of their wayward ways. A friend always is available for help from those needing help. A friend is always available to be a patient ear for those needing to unload their cares and their burdens. A friend is someone who is patient with those who are not patient with other people. A friend is someone who is patient with those who are not patient with themselves. A friend never criticizes their friends to others. A friend never mocks or scorns or ridicules their friends. A friend defends a friend when their friend is being attacked. A friend is honest with their friends. A friend is straightforward. A friend chooses truth over people. A friend chooses God over people. A friend chooses the Word of God over people. And when I say the Word of God, I mean the King James Bible. A friend doesn't leave you stranded if they have a choice about it. A friend doesn't desert you if they had a choice in the matter. A friend is the first one there and the last one to leave. A friend has you on their mind continually. A friend wants God's blessings on your life. A friend wants God's best for your life. A friend will not allow you to do wrong without trying to warn you. The friendship is the beginning of all good relationships. The right kind of parents is a friend to their child first. The right kind of adult child is a friend to their parents first. The right kind of a sibling is a friend to their siblings. The right kind of a husband is a friend to their wife. The right kind of a wife is a friend to their husband. The right kind of a pastor is a friend to their congregation. I don't want to be just a pastor. I want to be your friend. Anybody can hold the title of pastor. Anybody can hold the position of any kind of leadership. You can flush the title down the toilet. I'd rather be known as a friend, ladies and gentlemen. A friend will apologize to you when they failed. A friend will seek your forgiveness if they've let you down. A friend patiently waits for someone to come around to their senses. A friend is grieved when his friend has fallen. A friend is heartbroken when his friend has ruined their life. A friend will visit you in the hospital or at home when you're sick. A friend will visit you in jail or in prison. A friend will be by your side when the whole world is against you. A friend doesn't have to say anything with words sometimes. They just have to be there and show up. A friend will do their best to be understanding of your situation. A friend will do their best to be considerate of the position that you are in. A friend will do their best to be accommodating to you if they are able to. A friend is someone who stays when everyone else walks out on you and deserts you. A friend is someone who walks in when everyone else walks out. A friend is loyal to you when through good times and through bad times. A friend is always willing to tell you the truth, whether you will like it or not. A friend is always willing to tell you the truth, even at the cost of losing you. A friend will fight with you on the front lines. A friend will protect you from enemy fire. A friend will come to your defense. A friend will try to heal your wounds. A friend will encourage you. A friend will never leave you. A friend will never forsake you. A friend will always be willing to be by your side. A friend is loyal until death. A friend is loyal after you've passed away and you're not here to defend yourself. A friend is loyal until his death. A friend will reminisce good memories. A friend puts truth and biblical principles above people and institutions. A friend loves Jesus and the Word of God, the King James Bible, more than their own church. A friend loves Jesus and the King James Bible more than his own family. A friend loves Jesus and the King James Bible more than his own life. A friend loves their church more than the world's institutions. A friend loves the souls of mankind enough to share the gospel with them. And if you don't share the gospel with people, you don't love people, ladies and gentlemen. That's the bottom line. A friend doesn't want your wealth or your material or things for himself. A friend doesn't want to use your influence for selfish reasons. A friend is willing to take bitter medicine from his friends. A friend is someone who can be counted on when needed. A friend is someone who is very rare indeed. A friend is not two-faced. A friend does not gossip about others. A friend is someone who cares about those who are down and out. A friend is someone who goes out of his way to help the needy. A friend helps others himself individually, not just corporately or collectively. A friend never forces anyone to do anything against their will. A friend tries to be available for others in their time of need. A friend doesn't make you feel guilty for selfish reasons. A friend will remind you of Jesus. A friend will remind you of what the King James Bible says. A friend will remind you of how good God is and how good God's been. A friend will warn you of the judgment seat of Christ for the saved. A friend will warn you of the great white throne judgment for the lost. A friend will invite you to go to heaven when you die. A friend will warn you about the eternal damnation of a literal fiery hell that has no escape. A friend will impress upon you how short life really is, and tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. A friend close by is better than a lying televangelist who asks for money all the time. A friend close by is better than a lying radio religious speaker who asks you for money all the time. A friend close by is better than all the television stars and Hollywood actors and actresses all put together. A friend close by is better than all the big shots who make big money selling books on TV combined. A person who does not believe the King James Bible, this will be good, is no friend of God, ladies and gentlemen. A person who criticizes the old time religion is no friend of God. A person who mocks and scorns the faith of our forefathers is no friend of God. A person who labels the people of God as legalistic is ignorant of the Bible truths and is not a friend of God. A person who loves the church and their denomination more than the King James Bible is not a friend of God. A person who deserts the old-time religion because of money is not a friend of God. A person who deserts the old-time religion because of acquaintances or their associations or their following or their fame is not a friend of God. A friend loves to laugh when you laugh. A friend weeps when you weep. A friend is heartbroken when you're heartbroken. A friend rejoices when you rejoice. I may not be able to have enough money all the time, but I can still be a friend. I may not be able to do everything, but I can still be a friend. I may not be able to be everywhere I want to be, where I'm needed or wanted, but I can still be a friend. The best kind of friend I can be to someone is introducing them to the best friend they'll ever have, the Lord Jesus Christ. The best kind of friend I can be to someone is to share with them my great friend of friends, the Lord Jesus. The best kind of friend I can be to someone is to tell them how my friend loves me. The best kind of friend I can be to someone is to tell them what my friend, the Lord Jesus, has done for me. The best kind of friend I can be to someone is to tell them about Jesus and the words of God. George Washington said, "Be courteous to all, but intimate with few. And let those few be well tried before you give them your confidence." William Penn said, "A true friend freely, advises justly, adventures boldly, takes all patiently, defends courageously, and continues a friend unchangeably." Greek philosopher said, "Friends show their love in times of trouble, not in happiness." Another Greek philosopher said, "Be slow to fall into friendship, but when thou art in, continue firm and constant." Benjamin Franklin said, "Be slow in choosing a friend, slower in changing." Usually, if your friend has changed, it's not because they've changed, because you didn't realize who they really were before you decided them to be your friend. And it was a lack of judgment and wisdom on your part. Thomas Edison said, "I have friends in overalls whose friendship I would not swap for the favor of kings of the world. Walt Whitman said, I've learned that to be with those I like is enough. George Washington said, true friendship is a plant of slow growth and must undergo and withstand the shocks of adversity before it is entitled to the appellation. Jonathan Edwards said, sincere friendship towards God in all who believe him to be properly and intelligent, willingly, a willing being, does most apparently directly and strongly incline to prayer. And it no less disposes the heart strongly to desire to have our infinitely glorious. You cannot be a friend for somebody if you not pray for them on a daily basis, ladies and gentlemen. I do not need houses, lands, or riches to be a friend. I do not need power, station, or influence to be a friend. All I need to be a friend is to love them the way Jesus loves me. One of the chief purposes of a friend is to be with you and to love you even when you're wrong, and yet not to disassociate himself from you when others have forsaken you. See, the bond of friendship is stronger than disagreements. Once a true friendship has been forged, that friendship will point out each other's weaknesses and wrongs within whispers, not from a distance of disassociation. Whether it is unpopular by conventional wisdom and condemned by our contemporaries, I do not forsake friends. I am loyal to my friends. My friends will forsake me before I forsake them. I have purposed never to leave my wife for any reason whatsoever. I have purposed never to leave my children for any reason whatsoever. I have purposed never to leave my church for any reason whatsoever. I have purposed never to leave my friends for any reason whatsoever. I have known of people who have left their spouses. They've left their children. They left their church. They've left their friends. When that break becomes apparent, it only reveals the lack of true friendship that never was there. Again, if my church rejects the King James Bible, then they've rejected God. Amen. Problems, disagreements, heartaches, and circumstances help to forge real friendships and reveal false ones. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to the 1611 Authorized King James Version. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to the Baptist martyrs who've given their lives for the last 2,000 years. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to the old-time religion. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to the standards of my forefathers. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to my heroes who have given their lives for the gospel. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to the memories of our country's forefathers. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to everyone I can be. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to those who have no friends. I have purposed in my heart to be a friend to the one who gave his life for me, who paid for my salvation, who washed away all my sins in his precious blood, who ransomed my soul from hell, who has bought me and owns me, and one day very shortly will come and take me home, where I shall spend the rest of eternity with my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 16, this question is asked of the Lord Jesus. The one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those were which I was wounded in the house of my friends. His own people nailed him to the cross. His own people forsook him. But yet he still died for his own people, the people of Israel. Jesus said in John 15, greater love hath no man than this. Not that you agree 100% with everybody. Not that you like 100% about everything about somebody. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Our religious freedom did not exist in most of the colonies, and our Baptist forefathers were not allowed places of prominent stations, even with their abilities that they had. Our forefathers considered themselves fortunate enough to enjoy the liberties that were granted to them to freely assemble and worship God and serve God. And they enjoyed that freedom and that liberty to themselves. The Baptist cause began to grow and attract attention, and many people were saved and became Baptists. But I'll remind you that more than 40 Baptist preachers were ultimately imprisoned in the Commonwealth of Virginia before 1776. I'll remind you that Obadiah Holmes was beaten severely for his faith, a Baptist preacher. And that's why you and I enjoy the First Amendment in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen, because of our Baptist forefathers. When our national forefathers decided that they wanted freedom from foreign oppression, Baptists were almost unanimous in their support of the Revolution. And it was the Baptists who strongly influenced them to put in the First and Second Amendments in the Bill of Rights. Y'all do some research and find out about the Baptist preacher John Leland, who had the influence with James Madison. But Baptists have never been primarily politically oriented. And it bothers me today that so many Baptists are so consumed with their conservative political viewpoints than what God says and getting the gospel out. I'm all against abortion. This is me good. I'm all against the sodomites. But we ought to be a friend to everybody. And forget about your political persuasions, ladies and gentlemen. Our Puritan forefathers, they envisioned a theocracy in which their colony would serve as an example to the world of a nation governed directly by God's principles. But Baptist theology differed radically from the covenant theology that our Reformed theologians brought to this country. Baptists were evangelistic, believing in personally winning people to Jesus Christ and personal regeneration as the primary means of furthering the will of God, rather than envisioning this millennial kingdom being established by political reasons. And Baptists have suffered not just at the hands of the Catholic hierarchy or the Catholic Church, but also from Protestants because of what I'm saying this morning. Baptists wanted to preach the gospel to all the world. And even when Baptists were in charge in Rhode Island, they had never sought to impose their doctrine or any other creed upon their constituency. But this was not true of the Puritans or the other Protestants. They wanted a state church. That's why, you understand this, but Baptists have always been for... church and state. Baptist preacher Samuel Francis Smith was a young seminarian who wrote the hymn America. Baptist preacher Francis J. Bellamy in 1892 wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, because on this day, July 21, 1892, President Benjamin Harrison requested, quote, let the national flag float over every schoolhouse in the country, and the exercises be such as shall impress upon our youth the patriotic duties of American citizenship. Baptists have always suffered for the cause of Christ, like no other denomination in the history of the past 2,000 years. And I'll tell you why. And not just Baptists, but primarily Baptists have loved Jesus more than any other denomination has recorded, ladies and gentlemen. From the time that John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan, there have been Baptists that have given their lives for the cause of Christ and have given the gospel so that people may be born again and receive Christ as their Savior. Do you know Jesus Christ, the Savior, ladies and gentlemen? The old missionary, Alfred Saker, stood in an assembly of Baptists in Glasgow, Scotland, 1879. You probably don't know the name, Alfred Saker. He said, quote, oh, that I had another life to go out to Africa. The field is white and the multitudes are in darkness still. David Livingston, you've heard about David Livingston. Here's what he said, quote, Take it all in all, especially having regard to its many-sided character. The work of Alfred Saker at Cameroons and Victoria is, in my judgment, the most remarkable on the African coast. Alfred Saker was born July 21, today, 1814, in the parish of Rothen, Kent, England. He was a thin, frail boy from a large family, and though he loved reading, he could not pursue his education because it was necessary to enter the workforce. He labored with his father, who was a millwright and engineer, and received valuable information that could be transformed into useful labor years later in Africa. Saker was saved when he was 16 years old, when he wandered into a Sunday evening gospel service in a little chapel in Seven Oaks, where he had been sent by his father to assist in a millwright business. Returning home, he became active in the local Baptist church and was baptized in 1834. Upon the death of his father, Saker moved to Devonport for employment and in 1839 married Miss Helen Jessup, both united with the Maurice Square Baptist Church in that city. Alfred Saker had been interested in missions, and his wife also shared this concern. The Sakers offered themselves to the Baptist Missionary Society for service in Africa. In a group of eight, the Sakers landed in February 1844, and the outstanding ministry of Alfred Saker began. Though he was never physically robust, Saker's energy seemed inexhaustible. One by one, the other laborers were forced to leave because the climate seemed lethal to most Europeans. To be sure, Saker suffered greatly from fever and debility, but he persisted in working with the tribes on the mainland at the mouth of the Cameroons River. And he personally built himself a home there, reduced their language to writing, and formed a school within the first 2 years of his labors. His home church set a printing press, and he printed portions of the New Testament and school texts. Not the text that you know about, the text of the New Testament. In 1849, a church was formed. Saker introduced agriculture and taught industrial arts to the nationals, producing carpenters and smiths and bricklayers. In 1853, the Spanish government insisted that the Baptists depart and suppressed all Protestant worship. Saker and his congregation moved en masse to Ambrosie's Bay, where he purchased a tract of land from the Bambia chief. Again, the missionary led with untiring personal efforts, and soon a colony with homes and gardens was built. The indomitable missionary translated the Bible into Douala in 1862, and then revised it completely by 1872. At least five times he returned to England to rebuild his health, but he never stayed longer than necessary for the consuming passion of his life. His passion was to work for the salvation of Africans. Broken in body, Saker returned for the last time to England in 1876. And as his health returned, he visited churches to challenge young men for Africa. He wrote life texts. His life text was, "For thou art with me," and then went to be with his friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a friend of God? When God looks down this morning and at this congregation and at us individually, what have you done for the cause of Jesus Christ? Have you given the gospel to somebody? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for being our friend. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our friend. We've often failed you, neglected you, sinned against thee, not thought about thee. But yet, dear God, you continually think about us. What a friend. Thank you, dear God, for loving us before we loved you. Dear Lord, help us to be that kind of a friend to other people. That kind of a friend to our spouses, to our children, to our parents, to our church, to our neighbors. to everyone that we come in contact with, to drunkards, bag ladies, prisoners, and everyone. Lord, please work on our hearts. Deal with our hearts, your Holy Spirit, to be a friend. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business for Jesus. Christians praying. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friend.